T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
No, it is not. Not today. Not so fast. Seth Dunlap in for Christian Garrick. Welcome on into our Friday edition. What's up across the Gulf South and you in New Orleans? And to you listening across the world at WWL.com or the radio.com app. Grab that in your app store. You know, usually when you have the substitute teacher filling in, it's going to be a pretty fun day, and we're going to have some fun, but we're going to do something a little different here on my time today on the show. We're going to get a little serious here to open the show because, well, there's some serious things happening in the world of sports, and we're going to be talking about, is winning the only thing that matters in sports anymore? And I mean that very literally. Is it the only thing fans care about? Ownership cares about, that other athletes care about? And if it is that mindset healthy? And what kind of example does that set for our kids? And the reason that I'm bringing this up, it's not out of the blue. If you paid attention to Major League Baseball this week and the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, there's a pitcher named Josh Hader. And I'm sure you've heard this story. If you have, bear with me. But just to fill everybody in who hadn't heard, Josh Hader is a pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, young guy in his mid-20s. In the All-Star Game this year, certainly one of the rising stars in the National League, a reliever. And during the All-Star Game, as he was pitching, a trove of old tweets of his were unleashed to the public. And boy, were they ugly. Racist tweets, misogynist tweets, homophobic tweets. He basically hit for the cycle in things that you just do not do on social media. They're vile, they're disgusting, and I'm sure you've heard by now some of the things that were said. We'll recap a little bit, but a lot of the things we can't just say here on the radio. And this is just the latest in a very long line of things that now have been washed over by those in charge in sports, because Josh Hader's general manager, a guy named David Stearns for the Milwaukee Brewers, he came out with a statement that was kind of a joke. It said, you know, well, he's a good guy. We have his back. We're going to send him to sensitivity training. Major League Baseball echoed that and said, we're going to send him to sensitivity training. Nothing to see here. Latest in a long line of things in sports now that makes me think, and again, we're inside the fraternity here. If you're listening to the show, you obviously like sports. You're a sports fan, you're a football fan, baseball fan, whatever you are. So we're talking inside the fraternity here. I'm not some fringe wacko who's trying to eliminate sports and thinks anybody who likes sports, you know, just some jock meathead who can't think for themselves. Okay, we're talking to each other here. But when we see things like this happen over and over and over again, and fans, coaches, commissioners, other athletes are willing to just look the other way for the sake of winning, it makes all of us look bad. And this certainly isn't the first time this has happened. Look at the College World Series a couple of weeks ago. Luke Heimlich for Oregon State pled guilty to molestation of a child. And his coach, Pat Casey, and the administration at Oregon State didn't care. So I'm back on the team this year. Lots to get to. Bobby Aber is going to join us at 4:20 to talk about this also, and we'll take your calls and texts. And that is our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll for you today at WWL.com. Is winning the only thing that matters in sports anymore? Log on to WWL.com and cast your vote. It's an interesting parallel because what happened earlier this week with one famous pizza guy, Papa John? There was a transcript released of a conference call from Papa John, the face of Papa John's, the former owner, although he had relinquished control. He was still basically the figurehead, still had an office, still was a big part of that company. Well, he used the N-word multiple times on a conference call. Those transcripts were released. People were appalled. Kind of the same thing what happened to Josh Hader here, albeit less times. What happened to Papa John? He was let go. Kicked out of his office. Things were cleaned out. No longer welcome. So anybody who says, well, no, it's just because that person's very important to the business, we're going to look the other way. It's because he makes a lot of money, we're going to look the other way. No, that's not true. That doesn't happen elsewhere in our society. It does not. Why, when it happens in sports, are we willing just to look the other way as fans? And we got to clean this up because it's making our house, again, we're talking inside the fraternity here, look real darn bad and ugly. Let's take a look at some of the examples over the last couple of years. And boy, I could dig real deep here, and I could just run off a list for 4 hours of some ugly things that were just, again, looked past in sports from athletes, from coaches, from owners. What about Joe Mixon when he was at Oklahoma? Did you see that video of him slugging a woman at a bar? Apparently NFL teams didn't care. Drafted him. Now he's playing. What about Greg Hardy? One of the most gross examples that I can think of and really upset me. If you heard my show on Double Coverage when this happened a couple of years ago, I was irate. Greg Hardy, the former defensive end for the Carolina Panthers, he beat his girlfriend, threw her into a bathtub, then threw her on top of a bunch of assault weapons on a hotel bed and threatened to kill her. Didn't deny that. Nothing was ever denied. And Jerry Richardson, the former now owner for the Panthers, didn't care. Let him play. When the NFL finally suspended him, you know who came to the rescue? Jerry Jones for the Dallas Cowboys. He didn't care. He said, well, he's a great talent. He can help us on the football field. Because winning was the only thing that mattered to Jerry Jones. What about Jameis Winston? Jameis Winston now has agreed not to fight his suspension from the NFL, a 3-game suspension for alleged sexual misconduct in an Uber. And this wasn't the first time that Jameis Winston has got caught doing stuff like this. Go back to college, rape allegations, shoplifting, yelling some profanities and obscenities at the top of his lungs in a school cafeteria. Everybody just looks the other way because winning was the only thing that mattered at Florida State. And frankly, Jameis Winston should be out of a job at Tampa Bay. Winning should not be the only thing that matters. It should not. It doesn't happen anywhere else really in our society. And it's not just because these athletes and owners. It's not just athletes, by the way. Look at what happened to Jerry Richardson. We just talked about him. People were willing to look the other way for a very long time to his sexual misconduct until people finally had enough. But just because they are in the spotlight, they are a big part of big businesses, they're famous, they're stars, they make a lot of money, that's not the reason that our society looks the other way. It doesn't happen in other parts of our society. Look at actors, CEOs, politics even. But it happens in sports. Why? Why is it in sports that we're willing to look the other way from really gross missteps by athletes, coaches, and players? You tell me. And should we? Again, is winning the only thing that matters? If these things happen to Saints players or LSU players or Tulane players, whoever you root for, but they helped you win another game or two, would you look the other way? I'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. That's the phone number, 504-260-1870. Give me a call. You can text me at 870-870. Bobby Hebert will join us next to talk about this. I'm Seth Dunlap, in on Sports Talk right here on WWL. I'm asking you the question, is winning the only thing that matters? Frankly, I'm sick and tired of it. I'm talking inside the fraternity here. We're all sports fans, but I'm sick and tired that in sports, we're willing to look the other way from some really egregious and gross missteps, to put it kindly, for the sake of winning. And the phone lines, my goodness, they have exploded here. I think we've got one line open for you, 504-260-1870. We'll get to all of your calls in just a second. But let's bring on in the Cajun Cannon to talk about this. Bobby Hebert, usual co-host of Sports Talk, has Fridays off. Bobby, what's up, man? How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm just watching Gronkowski diving with the Sharks today. I mean, that's another story. I didn't have a quarter of a century ago, but I guess they didn't have social media or Shark Week to get promoted. So.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. So, Bobby, let me ask you, as a former athlete, big-time athlete, and somebody who's been here for a long time as an ambassador for sports down here in the Gulf South, is winning the only thing that matters, and should it be that way?
Well, it still matters a lot, but I think we almost had the crossroads. If you look in the past, I think it kind of started with Ray Rice and that visual, that domestic violence beating of his potential wife. I don't even know if they were married at the time. But I think a lot of times when you get a visual and how you could be exposed, the public's not going to accept that. So I truly think right now we are kind of at a crossroads where in the 1990s, that wasn't that long ago, but they would definitely sweep things under the rug as long as you could contribute at a high level and they'd bend the rules for you, whether it was a number of things. Maybe you could have been talking about domestic violence, drug use. You can go on, but if you can contribute at a high level and help a team win, administrators would tend to look the other way. But now I don't know if they can afford to look the other way, because they're going to be held accountable. You look at not only in professional sports, but even college sports. And it seems like there's always stories every week around the country that's dealing with someone that's doing something that's real edgy, and that eventually they get caught or, even look what happened with Penn State and that situation with Joe Paterno. So I think we're kind of at a crossroads, Seth, and I don't know if it's going to be solved overnight as far as nipping everything in the bud, zero tolerance and all that. But I think going back to the days where if you could play, they're going to kind of overlook it or give you a number of chances. I think those days might be over.
You know, as a former athlete, you're in that locker room. If something happens, let's bring Josh Hader in because he's the latest example of this. If you were in that locker room and you had heard what Josh Hader said, using the N-word, I should say tweeted, because it was tweets, using the N-word multiple times, some homophobic stuff, some very misogynist stuff, how would you react? How do other players react?
Well, it depends on what type of relationship you have with that player. You might say, well, you shouldn't use that word under no circumstance. But African-American players amongst each other, that word has been tossed around a number of times. But look incognito, the lineman. And certain black players on the team didn't have a problem with him using it, but other ones did. It was almost like a bullying factor when that all came about. How all of a sudden the Dolphins got in trouble with that. So I think but right now where I don't know if you want to say politically correctness in sports is going extreme, but it's almost, I guess, in different parts of society, how you progress, and there's a progressive way of thinking that I think, that it'll be unacceptable depending on the organization, they like to maybe exploit or use the N-word or homophobic situations that you're in. Like I said, I don't think it's going to be cut and dry right now, but you're going to hear it more and more. And I think, like I said, we had a crossroads, which I think you see a number of situations where in the past nothing really would have happened if they would have got swept under the rug or they might have been disciplined. But they might get discipline out their sport and have to find another occupation.
Yeah, it's social media. It's certainly amazing. Short and sweet today, Bobby. Hey, you're not swimming with the Sharks today, huh?
No, not swimming with the Sharks, but I actually not only swam with the Sharks, I fed the Sharks. I was watching Gronkowski in that video. He's sitting on the bottom, of the ocean. We were about 50, 60 feet deep. I was sitting on the bottom of the ocean, but I was feeding these black tip reef sharks chunks of tuna. So so Grimes don't have anything on me.
Like, Bobby, I'll get out there and swim with the sharks with you sometime. I'm not scared. Hey, Bobby, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
All right, sir. Talk to you later.
All right. Now it's time to get your thoughts on this. We're taking your calls the rest of the hour. Is winning the only thing that matters? And is that a good thing? What lesson does that teach our kids? You can weigh in by giving us a call, 504-260-1870, 504-260-1870. You can also vote on our WWL Blue Runner Foods opinion poll at WWL.com. We're taking a break for news. We'll throw it to Don Ames and then back with your calls. I'm Seth Dunlap. It's Sports Talk on WWL. We're asking the question, is winning the only thing that matters in sports? And really, why is it only in sports that it's that way in our society? Here's another analogy. James Gunn, American filmmaker, director, directed Guardians of the Galaxy. He was fired from the Guardians of the Galaxy today for some previous racist and vulgar language that was uncovered today. That is a big-time business. Big-time moneymaker. Premier position. He was fired. Papa John was fired earlier this week. Booted out of his office. But in sports, and the reason we're talking about this, Josh Hader, racist, homophobic, misogynist tweets, not just a couple, a whole treasure trove of them. And his general manager for the Brewers says, nothing to see here. We're going to send him to sensitivity training. Major League Baseball backs him up. Luke Heimlich for Oregon State Baseball. Sexual molestation of a child. He's allowed to pitch. Greg Hardy, assault, beat his girlfriend, threw her on a pile of guns on a bed, said he was going to kill her. Jerry Richardson, the Panthers, didn't care. Neither did Jerry Jones. Why is it in sports that a lot of us think that, well, as long as you win, nothing else matters? I'm tired of it. As a sports fan, as somebody who cares about the future and the health of all these sports that I love, I'm tired of it. I think it's gross and disgusting. Here's a text from the 504. LOL, it teaches our kids that you don't always get that darn participation ribbon. What's the parallel there? You think that Joe Mixon beating up a woman in a bar and being allowed to play football teaches your kids a good lesson? I think that's an indictment on you. Let's go to the phone lines, 504-260-1870. Michael in New Orleans. What's up, man?
How you doing?
I'm good.
I think that those players, like, you know, in the NFL and in college, they have, like, staff, and they spend millions of dollars to get those guys ready to play a game, but they don't invest money in to teach some of those guys, like, people skills. I think that should be as equal as important.
I agree with you. Whose fault do you think that is, Michael?
I mean, it's our fault because, you know, we allowed them to turn the other cheek when those players are, like, misbehaving. And it's just bad for society overall, you know?
Yeah, it is. And you know what happens here? One of the questions that we have on our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll and in our tease today is, what lesson does it teach our kids? What lesson does it teach everybody who's growing up and wants to be an athlete that sees all these players do stuff like this, and it just doesn't matter? They're still playing. Nobody cares. They're not getting reprimanded. If you think Josh Hader will ever see the inside of some serious sensitivity training, you're fooling yourselves. What a joke the Brewers general manager David Stearns was, and Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred. Here's a text from the 504. Those tweets were posted when he was 17 years old and in high school. I don't care. That's an adult. I've done some dumb things when I was younger, but most of those dumb things that I did kind of showed at the core of at least who I was. And this wasn't just one or two things. It wasn't just one or two days. This was a long period of vile vitriol from the pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, Josh Hader. He should not have a job, period. He should not have a job. Here's the text from the 504. You're not God. He tells us to forgive, and he's the only one. You have to please because he gives life to all. We can forgive. But that doesn't mean these people should still have jobs and we just look the other way. Chris in Covington, you're on WWL. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, like, I don't know that there's a difference between sports and how people view sports and the rest of the world, sort of like what you were indicating, that for sports, wins is money. So, you know, you say everything's about winning. Well, really, everything's about money. The more wins you have, the more valuable your franchise is, the more merchandise you sell, and that sort of feeds into that. The thing with Papa John's, it's sort of the same thing. Once he reached a point where he wasn't as valuable to the company, they just bounced him out because it wasn't worth the PR blowback. So as long as you're valuable, as long as you're worth more money than the controversy that you bring on, they're going to help you cover it up. But once you reach a point where the blowback costs more than your value to potential wins, then you're gone.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that at all. Although I think in other parts of our society, as Bobby put it, we've reached a tipping point. For example here, Chris, James Gunn, the director and filmmaker who made Guardians of the Galaxy, and look, that's one of the most successful movie franchises of all times, billions of dollars we're talking about. They just fired him today, and he's at the top of his game, right? That wouldn't happen in sports.
I mean, that's actually the industry that I work in.
Okay.
Is in film, and you know, the big thing with him is he's not a one-of-a-kind talent. He just happened to be the right place, right time. Those guys are, you know, part of teams of hundreds of people. He just is the nameplate. He's the headliner. So, I mean, ultimately, there's no loss to the production and the value of Guardians of the Galaxy by getting rid of that guy. He's not Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, well, he's just involved in I could go in there and probably helm a Marvel franchise right now and make a ton of money, right, Chris?
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. Let's go to, and yeah, we do double check this, Algiers in Algiers. Algiers, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I like to talk about Bill Parcells. He said it best. You don't treat all people, all your players the same. You treat your best players a lot different than your regular players. You can threaten to cut the other players, but you won't cut Lawrence Taylor. And we have admission from him. He used to go out, do cocaine, drink, and who knows what else, because we didn't have social media at the time, and it was brushed over. But, you know, we have these players, and Bobby's right, when they have talent, and not only that, when they're accepted by the community and they like them or adore them, they have more leeway. I mean, this might be sacrilegious, but let's look at Peyton Manning's issue at Tennessee. Tennessee tried to covered up the incident with the young lady. The young lady...
alleged, yes, but I understand. You can keep going, but yes, alleged, yes.
Yeah, but in this town, we don't mention it. It's all according to how much talent you have, how well the people love you, and are they willing to accept your transgressions without consequence or very minor consequences.
Yeah, there's a difference between doing coke. I'm just going to be honest here. There's a difference between doing coke and throwing a woman on top of a pile of guns and saying you're going to kill her. Like, there is a line here. You know, there's some gray, and there's lines that you just don't cross. But Jerry Jones, man, I could go on for hours about what a fool he is in certain parts of his business. He's a great businessman, but he has no sense of ethics or morals. The dude, after that was discovered and really proven true, Greg Hardy, Jerry Jones signs Hardy and says, he's going to help us on the football field, so I don't really care. Paraphrasing. That's an indictment on, as a sports fan, I think that makes us look foolish. I mean, it just does. We got to have better standards, higher standards, better morals. We'll take a break here. What do you think? 504-260-1870. I'd love to hear your opinion on this. Is winning the only thing that matters, and should it be that way? I'm Seth Dunlap, double coverage, and Sports Talk continues next. Having an inside the sports fraternity little conversation here about some things we see pretty darn regularly now, to be honest, infuriate me, and that we as sports fans and owners, coaches, we tolerate in the guise that winning is the only thing that matters. Frankly, it's not the only thing that matters. It never has been, and it never should be. And anybody who ever thought that, whenever I hear people say that, I roll my eyes, because it's not. And what kind of example does that set to the young kids and our kids? bringing this up because of what Josh Hader did earlier this week. Google it. Don't want to recap it here. Want to get to your phone calls. Luke Heimlich for Oregon State, Joe Mixon, Greg Hardy, Jameis Winston, an endless list here. It really is. Let's go to Miles on a cell phone. Miles, you're on WWO. Go ahead.
How you doing, Seth?
I'm great.
This is one that really annoys. Winning is not everything. And there's one particular sport where you better learn how to lose because you're not going to win there. You cannot win all the time. If you ever go rodeo, you learn how to lose because you're going to get your butt busted.
Oh, amen to that. I grew up out in the country, up in the Northwest, man. I got a lot of friends who did a lot of rodeo back in the day. Amen to that.
You learn how to lose. You learn how to lose with grace. And that's one of, you are reaping what you have sown with all the participation trophies and with all the kid gloves, with all the super, you know, all these guys in high school that are, you know, pledging to these big schools, and they let them, you know, they turn their heads the other way when, you know, you're, it starts in high school. And they, you know, the star athlete in high school is going to go to some big college. They just, oh, well, he does something, he gets swept under the rug. So he starts feeling entitled, and he just gets worse and worse and worse. You get up. And, I mean, you need to learn how to lose to build your character so you know how to be a good person when you lose and you don't take advantage of the situation. That's the bottom line.
It does. And when we have a great call, Miles, and when we have organizations that receive incredible public funding now, that these professional organizations do for their stadiums and otherwise, we're talking of hundreds of millions of dollars here, especially to the Brewers up there, if we're talking about Josh Hader. They owe it as a public service to be above things like that, to set an example. And like I said before, I'm over it. I am tired of it. I am over it. And it makes us all as sports fans look absolutely foolish. Because when things like, you know, general manager David Stearns up there for Milwaukee says, yeah, no big deal. His teammates like him. We're going to send him to sensitivity training. I mean, it kind of reflects on you and me because we all get thrown in that basket. Bob in New Orleans, you want to weigh in? Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good, Bob.
So I agree with you. If a player is violent towards, you know, anybody in his life, he should be held accountable for it. But this James Hader situation is not that. He was a teenager when he made those tweets, and the team thinks it's okay. He was a teenager. I'm sorry. It's his speech. I don't see an issue here. It's not like James Hader went around beating people up or attacking people at a nightclub. They're not comparable in my view.
Well, I would agree with that. I'm not trying to compare beating up somebody in the nightclub with what Josh Hader says, but Bob, did you see all the things that James Hader tweeted? And 17 is not
six.
No, I
didn't.
So he said, let me fill everybody in here just real quick. He said stuff like, again, I can't say a lot of the stuff on radio just frankly because I'll get fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't want to do that. Use the N-word in multiple tweets. Says, I'm going to kill you. I hate gay people. Gay people should die. Talked really vulgarly about women. This wasn't just your normal, he's quoting a song lyric or something like that. Go Google it. Really vulgar stuff. He tweeted KKK. That stuff you just can't do. You just can't do. How about Jimmy and Gretna? Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Seth? I love your show, man. You know, I think we're all complicit. I think WWL, as much as I listen to you guys, what y'all have 8 hours of sports coverage a day, which is great, and I listen to it, and I buy season tickets, the Pelicans and the Saints. We're all complicit to the bread and circus stuff, so I think that's one part, but where do we draw the line at? I mean, I support the players in kneeling. I think that this is somewhat of a psyop to keep us divided with them going back and forth on the rules and regulations. But correct me if I'm wrong here, Seth, and you know a lot of stuff. What's the rules for the NBA? I don't think it's a major issue. I think they have certain protocol in place. The NFL per se doesn't, and everyone's divided up about it. Me personally, if you're an American and you care about the Constitution and this and that, well, that's their First Amendment right. But regardless of that, it's up to the NFL or the MLB or the Arena League or NBA to rule and regulate, you know, the players, because that's a private business. I think that if you step out of lines now, you're getting doxxed to the point where, you know, I'm not saying these people aren't wrong, Seth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like the last caller said, he's 17. Was he working for anyone? just like the guy who was at Lee Circle, who was the principal, who got spotted out there and lost his job as a principal. Was there a rule at that school in New Orleans that said if you are out at a monument in New Orleans in support of it, you lose your job? Probably not, but he still lost his job. So what I'm saying is this. Did Ray Lewis lose his job? Hey, I support that guy. I like him as a player, but I wasn't there. Was he framed? Did he kill someone? We don't know. My point is, I think the safest bet is to let the NFL or the MLB or whatever league it is or whatever school it is in New Orleans, for example, to deal with it based on their rules and regulations prior to it happening. I don't think we can per se fire anyone if they were 17 and weren't working for the MLB, for example, or if, say, someone's at Lee Circle and a monument comes down and they're out there and they work for a school, a public school, and they lose their job as a principal, for example.
But, Jimmy, here's my thing. Everything's not black and white. I think I kind of agree with that part of what you're saying. But just because somebody's 17, we can't let them off the hook. This wasn't one tweet or two tweets. We're talking about Josh Hader tweeting KKK, tweeting the N-word very vulgarly, tweeting that he wants to kill gays.
Okay, now this is news to me because I just tuned in as far as what he said. Now, again, we can look at other players and the value of those players to their leagues. And is this a psyop to keep us divided? Again, I'll say I support the players kneeling because there's a lot of things America does, and I'm an American, that I don't per se support, say these wars overseas, this and that. I still love America, but they also have their right to per se not support it. Or, hey, you know, I, as a white guy, I've never been, you know, police brutality is not a major issue for me. But then again, I can see where there's cameras in the sky everywhere and the Big Brother Orwellian states here. So I can agree in a lot of ways. I can relate in a lot of ways, even though we're different in backgrounds, but I can agree. So my point to you is this. I think the best way to deal with it is to let the leagues deal with it as it comes. The reality is this. Even though you or maybe a listener doesn't agree with what he said back then, at that time he was not an employee. Now, if he did it now, I would 100% say, and look at this as a lawyer, which I'm not, but if you would, you would say, look, he's working for him. Does the MLB have rules and regulations in place with their legalities and contracts?
Yeah, if he said it now, and we're up against a hard clock, Jimmy, I always love the call. You're right, it'd be different, but I still think the response was inadequate. And frankly, I don't believe that just because he was 17, we let him off the hook the same way that I don't believe just because Luke Heimlich was in his teenage years when he molested a young girl that we let him off the hook just because he wasn't pitching for Oregon State at the time. I don't believe in that. I don't. What do you think? Give us a call. Is winning the only thing that matters? 504-260-1870. I'm Seth Dunlap. Sports Talk continues on WWL. Ready for your chance to win $1,000 in the Intercom National Cash Contest. The code word this hour is underdog. Text underdog to 72881. That's 72881. Text now and you could win $1,000 cash. You can listen for the next code word just before the top of the hour every hour, now through 6. So we got one more to go. $1,000 is up for grabs. Win it for your wallets. Good luck from all of us at WWL. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive. Coming up next hour, the NFL anthem policy is on hold. Joint statement by the NFL and NFLPA. We'll get into that. And Ben Watson, Saints tight end, will join us. I'm Seth Dunlap. It's Sports Talk on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.